foundation here. John 15, verse number 16, Jesus said, "Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you." What an honor. What a privilege. God chose. You might think, you know, I was so smart. I walked into a Pentecostal church and I saw this truth. I was looking for God for a long time. But the fact remains is that God chose you. He saw something in your heart and he chose you. "You have not chosen me, I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you." He chose us, and then he said, "What do you want? What do you want?" But it's all predicated on us making the right choices every day. Sometimes we don't get what we want because we haven't made the right choices. Amen. And then I'd like you to turn to Romans 26. I've used this, I think, about a week ago, but I don't think you can overuse Scripture. At least I didn't think you could. Romans 8, starting in verse 26, it says, "Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities or weaknesses, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the heart," that's God, "knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God." So God is making intercession or praying for us, knowing what is ahead of us in order to help us make the right choices. This is deep, folks. And then it goes on to say, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God and to them who are the called according to his purpose." So you have to understand God is trying to help us make the right choices so we make it all the way. Amen. "For whom he did foreknow, he did also predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified." So when he makes the calling, he gives us the power in order to stay with that which we chose. How many times have you said, oh, I wish I knew. I wish I knew about that job. I wish I knew about that relationship, about the promotion, where I'm supposed to go, what about that ministry? What is my future? We want to control our destiny, but then if we try to control our destiny, then God can't. See, all things work together for good if we're doing it according to God's will. And so many times we tell God what's best for us when God's saying, no, you don't understand. Because you don't see what's going to happen down the road. If that were the case, then our life would be cast in stone and there would be no choices for us to make. We would become the robots of the world, just doing whatever God programmed in us. And then there wouldn't be any value to the relationship without some kind of choice in the relationship. And it stands that our life would just be a blank page. And what God is saying, we're going to allow you to write the script. You choose. Amen. I've said this many, many times from this pulpit, but there about several years before I started pastoring, I was wondering about a career choice, what to do. And I remember we were in our living room with a group of saints, and we started praying. I asked them, would you pray? And God spoke to us right there and said, you perceive right in coming to me, you know, for answers. But whatever you want to do, as long as you do it, according to my word, I will bless it. I have a work for you, but you're not ready. But when you are, I'll make it very clear. What God is saying is you can make your own choices in a lot of things that you do and how you live along with guidance from the Word of God. But when it comes to ministry, there has to be a calling of God. I am not a self-appointed pastor. That would be a scary thing, folks. Amen. So our life is always subject to change based on the choices that we make. And God would have no pleasure in wind-up robots. Salvation has to be based on a free choice to have any kind of value. If people are lost, they have only one person to blame, and that's themselves. Amen. You see, none of us here are saved. We're in the process of being saved. Mark 16 and 16 says, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. And that word believeth has the ETH, which means continually believe. It's not a matter of, yeah, 20 years ago I believed, therefore I am saved. No, we're in the process of being saved. And it's a very delicate situation, and that's why there are some openings in this church building tonight, because there are some who no longer believeth. Thank God for the Holy Ghost, which always intercedes on our behalf to help us make the right choice. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth, ETH, our infirmities or weaknesses, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, because we don't know the future. You see, we can predict the future. We can even say, I want this to happen, but we don't know if this is good for us. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings that cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the heart knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, not the mind of us. Because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. So what God wants us to be programmed into is the will of God, not our desires or what we think will make us happy. And the fact of the matter is, many times the things that we think are going to make us happy don't make us happy at all. They many times take us away from God. In other words, God is constantly prompting us to do what's right, influencing our choices. Do you influence your kids' choices? You know? Well, Johnny, just do whatever you want. When you grow up to be my age, then you'll have to make some decisions. There was a couple here this morning. Their son died 5 years ago, Brother and Sister White. And today, their grandson turned 18, and by law, he had to get his inheritance. And it was a pretty large sum of money. Here's the problem. At 18, do you have the wisdom in order to do what is best for you with that kind of freedom of money? And then God asked the church, boy, I've got something for you. But are you mature enough in order to handle it? I know what you want, you know. And I've often thought, God, I can handle a lot of money. But until you're put in that situation, really? Instead of deciding if I'm going to come to church on Sunday night, maybe I want to go to Paris for lunch. You know, those are decisions that most of us never have to make, because God sometimes keeps us in that day-to-day need for the things of God. Now, if God is constantly interceding or pleading with us to live for him, then he also is setting up circumstances to cause us to make the right decisions. We're not just wind-up people that just, you know, keep doing things. God sets up circumstances, you know. What are those things that you put on the floor that cleans your floor while you're gone? Rumba or something like that, you know? And so you turn it on and... Sometimes God looks at us like that, you know, we're going and bump into this and then, oh no, I got to go this way instead of that way. Thank God we have the sensitivity to say, oh, okay, I get it. I'm not going to go that direction because that is not going to be good for me, you know. Hallelujah. And we know that all things work together for good. To them that love God, to them who are the called according to our purpose. No, his purpose. You may want to just be very straightforward with yourself and say, stop whining about what you're going through. Amen. We don't drink wine. Why should we be whining all of the time? God said it best, not for your comfort, but for your salvation. Amen. Hallelujah. I don't know what God's doing in my life. It's just so bad. Dummy, he wants you to be saved more importantly than anything else that's going on in your life. Some people are actually glad when they set up roadblocks for a bridge that's out. You know? They're not just obstacles. They are safeguards for salvation. They also open doors for others to be saved, sometimes at our expense. Oh, I've got to go to the hospital, and so I meet the nurse or I meet the person in the bed next to me. And I have a testimony, or God allows problems, so we run into people who have perhaps the same kind of problems, and now there's an opportunity. God is directing us, you see, and the fact of the matter is, when we do have these problems, and then we have the opportunity to witness or talk to somebody, our faith is elevated because of the problems that we've just encountered. This stuff is going to preach. If I could get somebody that really... God has foreknowledge of everything that will happen in our lives. So he knows what's going to happen to me tomorrow. I don't know, and I am so thankful. You know? He knows not only the past and the present, but also the future details of our life. Peter, in his first sermon, told the Jews in the second chapter of Acts. He said in Acts 2 and 23, him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain. Foreknowledge, God knew he'd have to do this, and yet he did. He made a choice. We heard it this morning in the gifts of tongues and interpretation, that he made that choice based on the choice that we have made. Before man was created, God knew that Adam would sin and therefore needed a Savior. Revelation 13 and 8 says, Jesus is the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. I don't know who of us would create mankind knowing now I have to give my life for mankind. You talk about love. You talk about a choice. Hallelujah. most of us come to an altar of repentance and decided we were going to live for God and baptized and filled with the Holy Ghost, but, you know, we didn't know what the rest of the story was going to be. I read this morning in Acts, the 9th chapter, when Ananias told Paul that God had called him and he wanted to show him all the things that he had to suffer for his name's sake. Some of us would say, yeah, no, I don't think so. Hallelujah. But God gives us the power to make the right decisions. So could it be that God has foreknowledge of things that we are contemplating, and he lays out a course of action to divert our actions? I'm going this direction, and God knows there's going to be problems, and so he sends trouble in our life in order to divert us from doing what we're already contemplating, in order to save us, not from discomfort, but from losing out with God completely. All things work together. Hallelujah. Perhaps didn't get the job because the influence of that job would have caused you to lose out with God. And we're wondering, well, hey, my resume was there, my experience was there. Why in the world didn't I get the job? Loss of a job, so God could bless you with a better job, or people who are now open to a witness. God's desire is that no one should perish, in 2 Peter 3 and 9, not even those who are saved. Yet we are free moral agents. We make our own decisions. It's probably the worst thing that could happen to us. We have a freedom to decide if we're going to live for God. Every day we make that decision. That's why church is so important, so we influence one another to keep living for God. And every one of us decide daily whether we will continue to be saved. Oh, God, help prompt me to make the right choices. You see, I want that influence in my life all of the time. You see, God knows where you are. He knows where you are physically. He knows where you are mentally. And he also knows where you are spiritually. He knows exactly what is at your door, where you're going to go, what you're contemplating doing. He knows whether or not you're going to have a job or help tomorrow. He already knows those things, and he has set plans in action in order to not make your life more comfortable, but make sure that you stay saved. Amen. He also knows where you are heading. And he uses traffic controls in order to keep you on that straight path. The lines on the roads, the signs, the obstacles, the flat tires, the red flashing lights, the mosquito bites. All of these things are all there, not by accident. Why did it happen to me? Because God wants to see you in heaven for eternity. He's not so concerned about our comfort here. Hallelujah. Why is it those that were the greatest in the Bible were sometimes thrown in prison and restricted in so many ways? You see, right after Romans 8 and 28, all things work together for good for those that love God, comes the 29th. I, about a week ago, preached on this, for whom he did foreknow or foresee, he also did predestinate or limit in advance to mark out of bonds or limit by tying up. So there are some things that God's saying, I'm sorry, I'm not going to let you do that. Because even though I love you, Johnny, please don't play in the street. Is that harsh? I see so many kids that are so unruly because parents don't love them enough in order to discipline them in this day. You know, all my dad had to do was look at me. Okay. Could we be so sensitive to the Spirit of God saying, oh, no. Because he wants us to make it all the way. Why? To be conformed to the image of his son, that we might be the firstborn among many brethren. See, the most valuable thing on the face of the earth is us. To God, nothing else is more important. All the gold, all the silver, all the accolades of the world, doesn't matter. The most important thing to him, the jewels in his crown, the apple of his eye, is those that are saved and sanctified. God sets a path for us to follow because of our decision for him. Psalms 37 and 23 says, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his ways. So there isn't any accidents involved. If you lost a job, if you got a job, if there's a relationship that went south, if you're going in a different direction that you didn't order, the steps are ordered by God. Now, if we get off the path or start to wander, he limits our advancement. He works certain things out of bound for you that maybe other people could do. Well, I don't see that in here, you know. And for you, it's okay. For me, no, I don't think so. See, I have a problem. You probably already know. But I see opportunities in business to do certain things. So I came out of the business world. But when God called me, said, do not pick up that sort of thing, because it'll be your demise. Now, for some of you, that wouldn't be a problem at all. But for me, God knows where my weakness is, and I need to walk way around it, and I need to be diligent as far as what God said I could or could not do. He may even limit us or tie us up with sickness or finance or hold back blessings for a season because he wants to redirect our path. He may cause some limitations in your life in order to finally get you to an altar. Finally get you up in the morning to talk to him. Finally pick up the book and start reading in the book because, oh, he wants you to be saved. He wants the relationship to be close. And he knows sometimes the only way the relationship can be close is for something to happen in your life. And we all know that God could heal and take care of and open the windows of heaven. But maybe he's looking for some action on our part before he's willing to do that. And until we do that, it's going to be a dry land, because salvation is more important than anything else. Proverbs 16 and 9 says, a man's heart deviseth or plots his way, but the Lord directeth, E-T-H, his steps. So even though we're deciding, you know, I'd really like to do this, But the Lord redirects us to do something else. You know, it used to be very common in the church, even when I came into the church, there used to be a saying, if the Lord wills. But now, because we've grown up, because we're more independent and sophisticated, we just do what we want to do and hope God blesses it. But if the Lord wills, we eliminate a lot of bumps and bruises and disappointments. Lord, I want to go in this direction. And God says, no, 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 get back on the path. Romans 8 and 30 says, moreover, when he did predestinate or limit and mark a path, them he also called, and who he called, them he also justified or made innocent, and to whom he justified, them he also glorified. See, the last step is the glorification, leaving this world, because it's not enough just to be justified. I've got to be glorified one day. Amen. Spiritual predestination is not a prefixed number of people that God wants to save, regardless of any personal choices made for or against God. There is no eternal security. It is not once saved, always saved, like I said Wednesday night. No, no, it's a very delicate situation. Paul said, even though I preached to many, I myself might be a castaway. He was worried about that. And I wish that worry would continue to be in the church, a little trepidation about, am I going to stay saved, you know? Who am I spending time with? Are they going to influence me? It's the judge that says to the kid that gets in trouble because he was spending time with bad kids, you sleep with dogs, you get fleas, you know? That's why God says, come out from among them and be separate, because eventually if you spend more time with those who don't have the same values that you do, you're going to take on their values. And therefore, you put in jeopardy your salvation. I shouldn't say this. Oh, he said I could. We had visitors here this morning, and I asked them, how'd you like the church? I mean, they're saved from Mississippi. They're up here visiting relatives. I said, how'd you like the church? How'd you like the service? He said, oh, this felt like I was at home. He said, can I tell you something? I said, yeah. He said, I went to the church down the road, and we sat there for 10 minutes, and we left. Because that's not the church I want to be a part of. See, we need to be the church that God has ordered. Hallelujah. And if your spiritual antennas are working, you know whether or not we're in the right place and doing the right thing. Hallelujah. Revelation 3 and 5. He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. I don't want to lose this thing, folks. Last night I woke up about 4 a.m. and I thought about all of these people over the years that I've taught Bible studies to and were friends. Worship God together, and they're not around at all. What happened? What choice did they make that took them off the right path? What detour did they take? What caused them to go in a different direction? And maybe they thought it's only for a moment, but never got back on the path. I want to be saved. God, help me to make it all the way to the end for the glorification. Prompt me by the Holy Ghost, by circumstances, by restraints if necessary. Because sick people can go to heaven. Hallelujah. I can go to heaven with no money in the bank and not a place to live. Hallelujah. But there's a better place that God prepared for me. Amen. God saved 120,000 people in Nineveh after a preacher, Jonah, was restricted from doing what he thought was best. He ran the wrong way, and God had such mercy in his life that the Bible says he prepared a fish to swallow him, to finally get him to his right mind. I can imagine the prayer meeting that went on in the belly of the fish. I can imagine the seaweed that was hanging down over his head. I can imagine that he was bleached white from the fish's acid for digestion. And then in the middle of the prayer, God said, okay, I'm going to belt you up on the beach. And then it dawned on him, maybe I should go in the right direction. You know, I hope he doesn't have to go to those means in my life. But if so, I got to be saved. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God, create a fish if you must. Because I've got to get to that place where I know I'm on the right path. And sometimes we have to be forced to pray and fast for 3 days. God wants to give us much more power than we could possibly handle if we're mature enough to handle it and say, not my will, but thy will be done, God. And God's saying, oh, okay, I can give you part of your inheritance right now. I'm going to make you a happy camper. Amen. But then if you veer off the path, I can just take that away. Because he loves us. Amen. It's not our way. It's God's way. And I recognize, beyond a shadow of a doubt, you know, when my neighbor's kids come over and throw a basketball against my house, or their dog, just uses my yard instead of their yard, then I'm not responsible for the neighbor's kids. But I sure am responsible for my kids. And so all of the people in the world can get away with all kinds of things, but not God's kids. Amen. He will make you miserable until you're happy. Glory to God. Would you stand with me, please? Thank you, Lord. The Bible says if If you love them, you'll discipline them. And I know for sure that God loves me. As he's taken me to the woodshed a few times. And, you know, but I know he loves me. Amen. Folks, if parents say, yeah, just do whatever you want. I've been a good parent. I didn't make you brush your teeth. I didn't make you do your homework. I didn't make you come home at a time. You don't love them. If you love them, the Bible says you'll chasten him betimes, many times. Because you want them to make it all the way. Amen. That's God's plan for us. To make it all the way. And maybe the first step tonight is just making it all the way to the altar. Amen. Thank you, Jesus.